The service is being recorded, and it'll be available on our member page website, which is password protected. Our prelude this morning is Pavane by Camille Saint-Saëns, performed by Amber. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Prairie UU Society. My name is Rev Ralph. I've been a part of Prairie for almost 24 years. And my pronouns, he, him. I want to extend a special welcome to our guest speaker and our ministerial candidate, Mary Sue Rudebeck. If this is your first time here or your 101st time, we are glad you are here. If you carry the weight of a weary world on your shoulders, or you entered through the doors with a song in your heart and a skip in your step, we're glad you're here. If you are the loudest voice in the room, in the town square, or the subtle hand behind the scenes, we're glad you're here. If you sing like angels or mumble behind the hymnal, we're glad you're here. This community is what it is because of your presence. So, welcome. Welcome into this space of love, support, justice, compassion, fellowship. We're glad you're here. Our chalice lighting is by Carrie Newcomer from her essay, A Speed of Soul, Thought Love is Sustainable, Hope is Renewable, and it'll be read by Mary Sue.
Good morning. Love is sustainable. Hope is renewable. I want love to lead me and hope to sustain me. Anger and fear can be an animating force for a while, indeed. If I'm not angry, troubled, and concerned about the shadow of a gathering storm in our world, then I'm just not paying attention, or perhaps spiritually bereft. But anger can only get us so far. Fear motivates mostly in desperate ways. When my actions are based in anger or fear, eventually I'll either despair, become numb, or burn out. But when I focus on what I love deeply and truly, when I align with the hope that grows out of faithful, daily, human-sized action, I ground myself in something sustainable for the long haul. Love creates an open space and breathing room for change. Fear closes down my willingness to risk and think in more open-hearted and creative ways. Love is sustainable. Hope is renewable.
Our opening music is the Bond of Union song. It's inside the rear cover of our gray hymnal. Lyrics by Dean Schroeder, accompanied by Amber. And please stand as you're able. It's time for our story for all ages. Our story today is Find Your Calm by Gabby Garcia, and it'll be read by Mary Sue. So all of our children, adults, are welcome to gather here up front around Mary Sue, listening to the story.
Good morning. I'll say good morning again just to test here. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, it's so good to see you. I look forward to meeting more of you and know your names. I'm Mary Sue. many of you looked out a window today when you got up, when you were driving here? Did anybody look out a window today? Okay, so windows are a big part of our life, and we look out a window, what do we see? You saw the outside, what did you see? You saw some
trees.
Oh my goodness. And they're so beautiful right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. How many of you looked at a mirror today? What did you see when you looked in the mirror? I saw some hair that needed to be brushed. I saw some teeth that needed to be scrubbed. But I also saw me. How many of you saw your beautiful self in the mirror? Right? So there are times in life where we look out a window. And when we look out a window, can you do this with me? When you look out a window, you see other people, trees, all kinds of things, right? People. But today, we're going to do a mirror moment when we look inside at ourselves. Our beautiful selves. And part of what's in us when we look inside, yes, we see our hair and our teeth and our eyes, but deep down inside is where the real beauty lives. So we're going to take a look at that today and find our calm. Do any of you, just nod your head if you do any of you get nervous sometimes? A little worried, a little scared? Your stomach does funny things, right? People approach and feel worry and joy in a variety of ways. Today, find your calm, a mindful approach to relieve anxiety and grow your bravery. I'm going to read a page and then I'll show you the pictures, all right? Anxiety can feel big and powerful. It can show up suddenly without warning. It startles me. Sometimes it seems to go everywhere I do. If that's true for you, just nod your head. In class, it brings a jumble of thoughts racing through my head. It's hard to think clearly. Before getting on the school bus, my body feels like it's moving in every different direction. I'm overwhelmed. At the doctor's office, I freeze. It's too much to handle. Do things ever feel like they're too much to handle? Just nod your head if you agree. Yeah, not just people here, a lot of us here. When anxiety comes crashing in like thunder, it can feel scary. But I've learned what to do. My parents explained that feeling anxious or worried is normal. Everybody feels this way sometimes. It's the way our body and brain let us know there's danger. These feelings can be helpful if there really is a threat, but most of the time, it's a false alarm. We're not really in danger. So we need to feel a sense of safety again so that we can find our calm. How many of you are learning to find your calm? Because sometimes we have to find it when we're on the school bus or we're at work, right? Here's what I do to help me. I look around and scan for reminders of safety, big or small. A friendly face, a color or shape, a tree, a flower, anything that helps me and my eyes land on what is familiar or calming to me. Can you close your eyes for one moment and think of something that really is calming to you? Okay. I also use my other senses to become aware of my surroundings. I can pay attention to what I hear, smell, touch, or taste. This helps my mind and body focus on what's happening right now. How many of you sometimes worry about what's going to happen tomorrow? Right? but we've got right now. So I pay attention to my breath. So let's do it in and out. There's no rush. Let's do it again. Yeah, very nice. I'm ready to pay attention to how anxiety shows up in my body. I feel the thump, thump, thump of my chest as I wait for my turn in class to show and tell. Do you think I might have felt a little thump, thump, thump today? You bet I did. I noticed the jingle in my legs before climbing onto the school bus. Do any of you ever get a jingle in your legs when you're nervous about something? I feel that way when I get a little high. If I climb up a mountain, my knees start to jiggle. I'm not too fond of heights. I pay attention to the tight squeeze on my shoulders when it's my turn to see the doctor. But the anxiety does not take over. No. I feel my feet on the ground. Can you feel your feet on the ground or your bottom secure on the ground or on your chair? And you feel something strong beneath you. I'm not frozen anymore. Slowly, I can move. My thought is this. I can do this. Can you say that with me? I can do this. You bet you can. My bravery grows. I feel my strength in my legs, then notice as it spreads to my chest. I stand more powerfully. I move more confidently. I'm okay. I'm safe. My body pulses with bravery. How many of you can sit really straight now? Take your breath in. Take your breath out. Open your eyes. Look in that mirror and say, I can do this. Ready? Take your pretend mirror right now, but there you are. I can do this.
I can do this.
You can do this. You bet you can. I was nervous speaking in front of the class, but I did it. The shot hurt, but I got through it. Riding the school bus was hard at first, but I'm proud of myself because now I do it every day. Anxiety still storms in, but I know what to do. I use my breath. Can you do that with me? I breathe in. I breathe out. Sometimes I get through it on my own, but sometimes a person who I trust helps me. Can you close your eyes one more time? And think about the person you really trust. And remember, they're there for you. So as you move through in the week ahead, remember to turn to your senses. Who can name them with me? What I hear, what I touch, what else? What I see. What I smell, and what else? What I taste. And go to those places and remember that I can find my calm. Thank you.
For our meditation today, I invite you to hold hands with your neighbors or hold hands together. This is part of our way of recognizing that we, at this time of anxiety, we all need each other. Be aware of the hands that you are holding, their warmth, texture, and weight. As an infant, these same hands reached out for the nourishment of milk. As a child, these hands shakily wrote a name on paper for the first time. These hands have wiped away tears, clenched in anger, waved hello and goodbye countless times, and embraced loved ones. And now these hands are the tangible link that connects us to one another. Look and see those around you who have experienced so much that is life. These hands have worked, are working, and will work to make the world a better place. So may it be. Our presentation today is Active Hope, A Post-Election Journey by Mary Sue Roydebook. And Robin Proud will introduce Mary Sue.
As a member of the search committee, I have the honor to introduce Mary Sue Roydebook. Mary Sue has a Bachelor of Science in Education Communication and a Master of Arts in Pastoral Theology. She has served as a director and head of Montessori schools in Janesville and Rockford, and as the director of religious education at the UU Church of Maquonago. She has created and delivered classes and workshops for diverse groups of children, youth, and adults, and worked with multiple organizations to promote just and inclusive communities. She has extensive experience in pastoral care with people of all ages and diverse backgrounds. When the search committee set up the schedule for interviews and introduction of our candidate, we didn't know that this would be an especially apt moment for us to experience the connection that a professional leader can help us develop. So please welcome Mary Sue.
Thank you. Somehow, it has gotten into our minds and in our culture that hope is some kind of lofty sentiment, perhaps a Pollyanna attitude that is untethered to reality. No, I suggest hope is deeply connected to reality, to the courage to face it and the love to live it. Hope has grit. True hope is active. It enters and lives with us in the messiness of life. This week, the presidential campaigns concluded. In a nation deeply polarized, the results shocked many, leaving people fearful for their safety and questioning their acceptance in a country they call home. Many now find themselves doubting the trust they have in a constitution that should protect them. There is a heavy grief that has permeated this time, in this election season and long before. That has left many feeling chronically disillusioned and despaired about our nation and beyond. As we orientate away from election possibilities and adjust to the reality of the next 4 years, many in our UU communities look to what we believe and work towards, like the inherent goodness in every person, justice, compassion, and inclusion. And we ask, how do we uphold these principles and values when the next administration's vision seems so far from our deepest beliefs? Many are angry, grieving, and not seeing a horizon of hope. A friend said to me, "Not this again. I'm tired. I long for a safe place, a sanctuary. I need hope, and I just don't see a way forward." Anger, exhaustion, and grief are real and must be felt, expressed, and become part of our new fabric. These can become the catalysts for active hope. In Rebecca Solnit's book, Not Too Late, Changing the Climate Story from Despair to Possibility, she states, "Hope is not a lottery ticket you can sit on the sofa and clutch feeling lucky. It's an axe you use to break down doors in an emergency. And an emergency can bring about terrible loss or magnificent transformation. And while it's unfolding, the outcome can be impossible to foresee. Hope is active. Emily Dickinson wrote, "Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all." Well, I love music. I like that thought. I love birds. But does it really feel like a sweet little bird with feathers? I offer another, a little more raw, deeply personal perspective from the poet Caitlin Seda. Caitlin's poem is titled, "Hope is not a bird, Emily. It's a sewer rat." Hope is not the thing with feathers that comes home to roost when you need it most. Hope is an ugly thing with teeth and claws and patchy fur that's seen some stuff. It's what thrives in the discards and survives in the ugliest parts of our world, able to find a way to go on. Hope can be painful and messy. The late Joseph Campbell writes in his book, The Power of Myth, "People forget facts, but they remember stories." Personally, I have found it is our stories that bridge humanity, because there is always a little piece of my story that resonates with yours. So please indulge me as I share a few personal stories of hope lived through my heroes and a few humble moments of my own. In 2016, several of us in the Whitewater community were devastated by the election outcome and deeply concerned for the large Hispanic population working and living in Whitewater. There seemed to be a growing division between our community and misinformation about these families. Not only had they invigorated our local economy by providing Mexican grocery stores and restaurants, they were providing much needed labor. For example, there are several egg farms in the Whitewater area. Believe me, there are not many, if any, locals or college students knocking down the doors to take these jobs. However, we had hardworking neighbors from across the border who welcomed the opportunity in the hopes they could provide a better life for their families. A few of us got together and decided we needed to form a group that worked on uniting lives in Whitewater, providing a common ground and a place where neighbors could help neighbors beyond political convictions. After much discussion, we chose to call our group WOOL, Whitewater Unites Lives. We sent out an email, and within hours, there were many interested and concerned people. We helped organize volunteers who provided rides for undocumented neighbors and needed to get to work or their children to school. Another outcome was the creation of a lunch program we titled Mind the Gap. This project still feeds approximately 150 children per summer when school is not in session. WOOL is now affiliated with our Pride and Immigrant Support Coalition groups. We knew the community was making headway. One of the prominent businessmen in Whitewater added the Pride flag to his display of several flags. His circle and our circle was widening. Hope can build bridges. Engaging with the impact and expansive power of hope has been a constant companion throughout my life, especially as expressed through my father. As long as I can remember, my dad was my hero. He was so good at loving and living. He never knew a stranger and was generous in every way imaginable. He had a skip in his step and joy exuded from him. He was not joyful because his life was either easy, rather because he lived with a spirit of gratitude. His joy and laughter was contagious. He is the father of 6 children and many grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And I am not exaggerating when I tell you, each of us knew that everyone and anyone we befriended and brought home were immediately in his circle, and he would feed you. All were welcome at his table, and he loved it. He had a way of making everyone feel like they belonged. In his retirement, he and my stepmom, our beloved Grandma Carol, moved to California. He and Carol became involved in prison ministry and were deeply concerned about the quality of life and work conditions for the migrant workers. St. Francis of Assisi was my dad's hero, and none who knew him would argue he took that following seriously. 3 years ago, my dad was carrying groceries into his home, and his foot got caught on a step. He fell backwards and suffered a traumatic brain injury. He died within a week. Nothing can prepare us for that kind of grief and pain. And that pain was felt deeply by all of our family and his community that stretched far and wide. At his funeral, people were pouring into this beautiful little church, many I did not know. One of the people I met was a police officer. I asked him how he knew my dad. He smiled and said, "Oh, your dad helped me become a better person." I was intrigued, but honestly, I was not surprised. I asked him how, and he did not hesitate to share through his words. "Your dad often went into the fields to feed the workers without permission. One day, the owner of the farm called the police and was very angry because your dad and a few of his followers were interrupting work and trespassing. I was on duty that morning and responded to the call. When I arrived at the farm, I saw this man and a woman and a few others with pans of egg sandwiches handing them out to the migrant workers. I approached him as respectfully as I could and told him he needed to leave as he was trespassing. Your dad looked at me with his kind yet penetrating blue eyes and said, 'What's your name?' I was a bit taken back and flustered, but I told him, and he quickly said, 'Did you have breakfast before work this morning?' I was caught off guard for a moment and then immediately defended myself, saying, Listen, sir, I go to church, I'm a Christian, so I understand.' But before I could finish, your dad said to me, 'Good, glad to hear you believe in feeding your neighbor.' He handed me the pan of food and directed me to the next 4 rows of workers to feed. Now, for me, I started to laugh, and I asked him, 'What did you do?' He said, 'Oh, I took the pan and did what I was told.'" Now, I had mercy on this guy because I had looked into those kind, powerful, and blue eyes so many times in my life. They were filled with love, and make no mistake, he was a guy who showed up, and he called you to do the same. The officer went on, "Since then, I cannot pass those fields without thinking about him and wondering if these folks are doing okay, if they have eaten. My wife and I have been talking to the St. Vincent de Paul Society, and we're not even Catholic, but your dad instructed us to do it, and I'm doing it." He looked at me and said, "You had a good dad. He was a strong force and a great man." My dad was not perfect, and he would have been the first to admit it. However, he lived and loved by entering lives, both the joy and the sorrow. He would stand right beside you and become part of what the late John Lewis would have called good trouble. My final story for today is one I held close to my heart and returned to when I began to lose faith in humanity. It was in February of 2019, and one of the teachers introduced me to his friend who had just returned from Uganda. He said, "Hey, Mary Sue, you need to meet my friend Kayla. She's kind of quiet, but don't let that stop you. She has an amazing story." I smiled, as he knew me well. Not only was I far from being shy, I loved hearing people's stories. Always will. So I introduced myself to Kayla. We found a few chairs, to cups of tea, and through our conversation, I heard Kayla Billington's amazing story, one I will never forget. Kayla, at that time, was a 25-year-old nurse, an extraordinary individual who became my friend, my hero, and forever changed my life. I share with you now a little of her inspiring story through her words. In 2016, after college, I decided I wanted to be a traveling nurse and to volunteer at a children's hospital in Uganda. During my time there, I met Patrick, a 2.5-year-old boy I called Patty. I could see he was not doing well, and tests confirmed he had a rare condition with 4 heart defects. The doctors gave no hope for corrective surgery because in Uganda, they don't do those kind of heart repairs. I was devastated. I had fallen in love with him, and to think that there was no hope, no options for him, it just couldn't be. We just had to sit and wait for him to die? It was unbearable. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. But I was determined that I would arrange the surgery Patty needed. I just didn't know how. Finally, after working out a plan for nearly 2 years, we were able to travel. There was so much bureaucracy to deal with, visa disputes at the consulate, finances, and several medical challenges. But finally, we were able to travel. Sadly, Patty's mom could not come, but she trusted me with our dear Patty. I was so grateful and honored. I brought him to a Kentucky hospital for surgery. It was a pro bono because they offered one of these surgeries a year, and Patty was the chosen candidate. However, by then his heart was too weak for the operation. I got him to Kentucky, and then Kayla became so still. And she said, the day before surgery, he died in my arms in the hotel. While holding him, I told him his death would not be for nothing, and that I would take care of his family, and I'd make sure people remembered his name and his story. I was in awe and deeply touched. There before me was this humble, compassionate, young, so young, gentle warrior. I asked her what I might be able to do to assist. Through several conversations with me and others that I was able to connect her with and beyond, but mainly through Kayla's perseverance, hard work, she started a not-for-profit titled Patty's Project. Patty's Project has now provided several heart surgeries for Uganda children. One of those operations was for Patty's sister, who also had a heart defect. She is alive and well. Doctors performed 3 other surgeries in India last year through a partnership with the not-for-profit Healing the Children in Wisconsin. She now raises between $4,000 to $10,000 per year and takes at least 2 children annually for the surgery. She has over 20 on her list. She also kept the promise to provide for Patty's family and through some fundraisers bought a plot of land in Uganda, which Patty's mother farms to support Patty's 4 siblings. Through Kayla's love, extraordinary generosity, perseverance, and her grief, hope was born. The Unitarian Universalist Reverend Frank Hall writes, we need hope and courage to balance the suffering we experience, and we need one another to keep hope and courage alive. It's not a complicated theological proposition, but it's enough to challenge us for a lifetime. The book of Ecclesiastes says, for him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. To feel joined to all the living is to experience hope in the deepest sense. I now leave with you a song, a gift, an invitation for respite from the folk artist Carrie Newcomer, titled Sanctuary. It is a reminder of what we might need from each other as we embrace our part of active hope in the journey ahead.
Thank you, Mary Sue. Now is the time that our community dedicates itself for discussion around the focus of today's service, relying upon our covenant of good relations as a guide to ensure all voices are welcomed and relationships are valued. We have a few minutes for discussion, and please come up in the aisles here and form a line on either side of the lectern. Raise your hand if you can't move forward, and one of our helpers will bring a microphone to you. Introduce yourself with your name and pronouns is welcomed. Those who are on Zoom, type into the chat to have your comment read. Any comments? Discussion?
I'm Mary Mullen. She, her, and when I was listening to the story for all ages, what I thought about that calms me is to, in, when I'm here, is just looking out the windows at the trees. And I was at something the other day, and I was just thinking about the political situation, and then I came out of the place that I was in, which was indoors, and I just looked at the trees, the tree trunks of the trees growing along the street, and that made me feel a lot better.
Hi, I'm Randy Heehim. Thank you for your work today. I want to also thank you for bringing the wisdom and artistry of Carrie Newcomer to us. She's a very talented person. Thank you very much.
Okay. Oh, that's better. Sorry, my legs are giving out from MS. I wanted to comment on the birds in Carrie Newcomer's song because I forget the name of what that process is, but it's a group consciousness, and they're all interacting together and forming these beautiful cavorting of joy in the sky. And I'm hoping that even in the midst of what is to come, we will be able to form groups like that, that just for joy cavort as a group and support each other.
Avalon Hakes, I just want to say I am so impressed. I loved the story for all ages and plan to get a copy out of the library for my grandchildren. I loved your talk, especially your personal sharing about your father. And the song that you played at the end moved me to tears. So thank you so much for your presence today.
Sorry, Greg, Gary, I got it for you. Thank you so much for coming, Mary Sue. It's must be something that's very scary to get up into in front of a new group of people. I'd really liked your talk. I'm not much for spiritual softness. I'm more of the kick me in the gut kind of guy. But
you
welcome.
You would love my dad. Okay.
Gary Heehim, and I just wanted to change the subject a little bit and thank the search committee for having done a wonderful job. Thank you.
Hi, John Wunderlin. I was going to share this, wait with us for joys and concerns, but it's kind of appropriate for this service. After Tuesday, like most of us, I was pretty devastated. And for some reason, I think I went through all 12 stages of grief in 24 hours. And I felt oddly really good on by Thursday. So I'm not sure what that was about. But I've been interacting a fair amount with some people who actually voted for Trump. And I guess I'm at this point, I'm feeling like we'll deal with each situation as it comes up.
Okay. Thank you for sharing those. We are now preparing to receive our offering this morning. This quarter, our offering is being shared with Porch Lights Dwelling Intervention Grants and Sustenance Program, which provides eviction prevention counseling and financial assistance to households facing eviction. Our offertory is Reverie by Maura Rahino, performed by Amber. Thank you, Amber.
Love is sustainable. Hope is renewable. Top-down power is broken, but there is another power in the world. I have seen love connect what was disconnected, heal what seemed too damaged to heal. I have seen other people and myself do courageous, even heroic things for love. Nothing truly changes without love. Nothing else really moves the dial. I imagine you have seen this too. It's a knowledge that can be trusted. So today and every day, let this be my meditation. And I invite those who would like to join me. Breathe in. Love sustains. Breathe out. Hope renews.
Our closing music, number 348 in the gray hymnal, Guide My Feet, accompanied by Amber. Stand as you are able. Stand, Spirit.
Guide my feet, my
We have a few announcements. We have a few holiday cards for people in the Dane County Jail during the holidays. These are in the hands of Pam Gates. And if you would like to take a folder of cards, she has them. And it's a great project for Prairie to participate in. Today, after the service, there's a visitor orientation. If you're interested in learning more about Prairie, meet in the foyer by the welcoming table. Also, today, after the service, Prairie's parents group. Now, I'm going to say it. Pups. Families will enjoy lunch together, then parents will meet upstairs for discussion, and Mary Sue will be joining them. Social Action Committee invites you to write a few cards for people we just mentioned in the Dane County Jail. Ken Skog has an announcement about our upcoming congregational vote on Tuesday.
I'm Ken, he, him. This evening, or excuse me, a Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., we'll be holding a parish meeting. It will be held here in this room and on Zoom as well. For those people, and the purpose is to take a vote on accepting Mary Sue to be our pastoral minister for a year. And if you cannot make the meeting, either in person or on Zoom, you could cast a ballot by proxy. Essentially, you're designating me to be your proxy in voting. Slips to vote by proxy are out in the foyer. If we happen to run out of slips, you can also respond to the email I sent out on Prairie News. You can send an email to me voting your proxy as well. Thank you.
Ken?
Yes.
Is this members only?
Correct. Yeah, only members can vote. That's correct. Yeah.
There are more announcements in the order of service. At this time, we are stopping the recording.